This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
At times, life can become very challenging. It seems there's always something we are contending with. It could be at work, or it might be at home. It may be something to do with what we own or are responsible for. It might even be our health. But whatever it may be, the giants in our lives are only as big as we ourselves allow them to become. Embracing and accepting the challenges we face occasionally are not always the easiest things to do, but there are keys to adjusting to the circumstances we are surrounded by. And it does us well to understand and believe our strength does not always come from ourselves. Let us help you to understand there are no giants over 40. Today's programs will explore this outlook and provide some insight on how to successfully deal with the lives we find ourselves living.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Tony Bukert.
Hello there, friends. Welcome to another international telecast of the Armor of God. And as you may notice, I'm doing something a little bit different today. Normally, as we bring you in to the program, you'll notice that we're turning in our scriptures to our predicate so we can get you ready for today's topic, but I'm doing something a little bit different today. What I'm doing here is I'm reading out of a book called Classic Fairy Tale Stories, and you can see the cover right here. And I'll tell you what, it's full of all the classics that perhaps we grew up with and we all remember as children. Our parents probably read these to us as we were getting ready for bed. It's full of all the good ones. Now, there's a story in here that really stands out in my mind. It's going to serve us well as it leads us into what I want to discuss today. Perhaps you remember the story of Jack and the Beanstalk. Now, I can remember as a little kid listening to this story, reading this story, and I couldn't get my mind off the fact that this kid named Jack was being hunted down by this menacing giant and trying to catch Jack, and he was going to eat Jack. So I can remember how ominous this was and how scary it was in my mind. It's really a story, if you think about it, about a little boy who is a little bit impulsive at times. You remember his mom was a widow. They live in impoverished conditions. All they had for food, because they didn't have any money, was milk from a cow that they had. And eventually one day this cow ends up not giving milk anymore, so his mother, Jack's mother, sends him to the market, and she says, go ahead and sell this cow for some money so that we can have some food to eat. Well, Jack, being impulsive as he is and not really thinking things through, as we all do sometimes, he ends up selling this cow, or rather trading this cow, for a few magic beans. Now, I'm not going to go through the whole fairy tale here, but you can remember it. Things start going bad for Jack. Because of this impulse of trading these magic beans, the big beanstalk grows. He goes up to this kingdom where this giant is. He steals the giant's gold, and, well, you remember the rest of the story. He ends up being chased. But there was a statement in here that is made by this giant. I'm sure you remember this, and I'm sure I'm not going to do this giant very much justice by reading this. But he said this to Jack. He said, "Fee, fi, fo, fum. I smell the blood of an Englishman. Be he live or be he dead, I'll grind his bones to make my bread." That stands out in my mind today. I can remember this as a little kid. I remember thinking when I was little, I don't know what an Englishman is, but I sure hope I'm not one of them, because it looks like that they're in trouble with this giant. Now, obviously, when you look at this fairy tale, when you examine it, when you take it for what it's worth, it really is a story about impulse, making bad decisions. But really, in the end, things always end up to be okay, because we can always reverse our course, so to speak. Now, what I want to talk to you about today is, well, something that we all have. Whether self-induced or whether something comes out of left field, we all suffer with these things called trials and tribulations, or by way of metaphor or hyperbole, we all have our giants, don't we? We're real good at creating giants. Now, the Bible does talk about some races of people in the Old Testament that were rather large, larger than us by today's standards. But in Genesis chapter 6, I think I'm going to go there. Just jot this down or look at it later. There is a scripture here that a lot of people use that, quite frankly, causes a lot of controversy and really goes a long way to cause a lot of people to believe that there were all kinds of things going on between men and angels, and they were coming together and procreating, and that giants result of that. But as you see here, that's not the case. But before I go into Genesis chapter 6, I did want to make bring your attention to a couple offerings that we have today for you, as we always do here on the Armor of God. We have a CD that is entitled No Giants Over 40. Now, what does that mean, no giants over 40? Well, when you look in the scriptures, the number 40 is always used in reference to generations or trials and tribulations. And the fact of the matter is, when we have these trials and tribulations, you know that they don't last forever. There's no giants over 40, because there's two numbers we're going to look at here, but I'll get to that as we progress through today's program. Now, in addition to that, we always offer up a booklet or some sort of brochure. We have the booklet that is entitled How You Can Be an Overcomer, because there's a lot of things in life that come our way that, quite frankly, they trepidize us, they cause us anxieties, and we do need to deal with them head on. So please reach out to us, pick up your phones and call 888-578-8791. Again, that's 888-578-8791. Or please feel free to go to our website at cgi.org. That's, again, cgi.org. And if you have any questions that result from today's program, just hit us up at info@cgi.org. And don't forget, every Saturday we do have a webcast that we'll have up for you, but you want to make sure you go to the website and just double check the times to make sure you don't miss that. But bringing us back to today's program, before I interrupted myself and went to the literature and to the CD, I was going to reference here a scripture in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 1, which is a lot of conspiracy that's surrounding these scriptures. A lot of people take them out of context, take them to say things that they don't say, but really the reason I'm turning here is because it references giants. So I wanted to turn here to show us how hyperbolic language just does come into the scriptures, and it's going to serve us well as we move on today. But in verse 1 of Genesis chapter 6, we read this. Now it came to pass, when man began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful. And they took wives for themselves, all of whom they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years old. Now, there's a lot of context and a lot of information, the backdrop here, regarding what is really going on here in Genesis chapter 6 for the few verses that we just read. But, you know, there are a lot of people out there that would have you believe that what happened here was that these angelical beings that got kicked out of heaven, because remember, Satan and a third of the demons were kicked out of heaven, they came together and somehow they had children with mankind, and as a result, these giant beings were the result of that those relationships. But really, that's not what's being said here. And as a matter of fact, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ even told us that it's not the function of spirit beings like angels to reproduce. So we know that that's not the problem here. We know that's not what's going on. But really what we see here is a lot of hyperbole, a lot of metaphor. And really when you take a look at our problems that we have, the trials that we have, whether we bring them on ourselves, or, you know, sometimes things just come out of left field, they seem like they're these gigantic giants, these insurmountable creatures that we just can't sometimes seem to overcome. But you know, there's hope in Christ. There's hope in the scriptures. The Bible does encourage us that we can overcome whatever it is, whatever giant it is in our life, that problems aren't insurmountable. That's why the title, No Giants Over 40, because eventually after 40, something happens, and we're going to go through it and see that. But in John chapter 16, specifically verse 33, I'm not going to turn there, but you know, our Lord and Savior told us that there's one thing that we can be assured of in this life. You know, oftentimes we hear it said, oftentimes in a comedic tone, that there's just a couple things that are sure in life, death and taxes, right? We've all heard that before. But, you know, one thing that we can be assured of in this life, that we will have trials and tribulations. We just have to know how to confront these trials and tribulations. We need to know how to overcome, because really the life of a Christian is about that. It's about overcoming what stands between us and the kingdom of God, if that serves as a disruptor. You know, Jesus said a lot of things about this, and I can think of no greater example that we can turn to regarding overcoming. And over here in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, we are given some information regarding the greatness of our Lord and Savior and exactly how He serves as our example. And not only He, but many of the matriarchs and patriarchs that preceded Him and preceded us, how they overcame. But take in consideration this man named Christ and how we can overcome. This is what the book of Hebrews says. It says, Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run the race with endurance, the race that is set before us. So how do we do that? Well, he's going to finish up here. He's going to tell us exactly how we can do that, how we can be an overcomer, and who we look to as the example to how we can overcome. He continues here. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, Jesus certainly had a lot of people or giants in his path that were trying to thwart him and his mission in obtaining the kingdom of God. And right before Hebrews chapter 12, we have Hebrews chapter 11 here. We have this thing called the Hall of Faith chapter. And if you want to consider something about all these patriarchs and matriarchs that serve as our example, who overcame adversity, who overcame afflictions to do their best to attain the prize of the upward calling of our Lord, you know, there is one thing that everybody has in common. From Abraham to Moses to Rahab, everybody who's listed in here, except for Jesus Christ, because he's not familiar with this, but everybody who has ever lived and breathed besides Christ, you know what we're all familiar with? We're all familiar with failure. We're all familiar with overcoming. We're all in the same boat when it comes to trial and tribulation. So we have to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who did walk this earth with patience, relying on his Father, keeping his Father's commandments. And really, he serves as the ultimate example of how we can overcome. Now, the one thing that's different between us and Christ is Christ had no sin. He didn't have to overcome any sin. What he had to do is he had to overcome the people who were trying to influence him, the external influences, trying to thwart his mission to gain us salvation through his life. But, you know, there is a set of scriptures, actually several of them, that talk about adversity and affliction, and I'll turn to my notes here for just a few, but there's a lot of examples of where the number 40 is mentioned. The number 40 in the scriptures is very important to us because it's symbolic of a few things. Number one, it's symbolic of generations. Number two, it is symbolic of trials and tribulation. So I wanted to take a look at just a couple of those and then show us really that there's another number that's important that we can look forward to and serves as a motivator for us to pursue this thing called overcoming. Now, the first scripture that I'm going to turn to is in Genesis chapter 7, You guys are probably well familiarized with these scriptures that I'm going to turn to today. It's a well-known story. Unfortunately, a lot of people consider this story a myth, but in fact, there's plenty of evidence to show that there was a worldwide deluge that did happen upon mankind, that God did exact his punishment on mankind in the way of this thing called a flood. It's called the Noachian deluge. Now, we read here in verse 1 of Genesis chapter 7, just 1 through 4, and then we'll also read verse 12. He says, "Then the Lord said to Noah, 'Come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. You shall take with you 7 each of clean animal, a male and a female, 2 each of animals that are unclean, a male and its female, and 7 each of the birds of the air, the male and the female, and keep the species alive on the face of the earth. For after 7 more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I have made.'" Now, skipping over here to verse 17, we'll continue here. It says, "Now the flood was on the earth 40 days. The waters increased and lifted up the ark, and it rose high above the earth." Now, naturally, as we all do, we tend to insert ourselves into the narrative. At least I like to do that. And I like to put myself into the place of the characters that I'm reading about, historical characters, that is, not fictitious like Jack and the Beanstalk here. These were very real characters. But have you ever thought about what it must have been like when God said, "I'm going to cause it to rain 40 days and 40 nights on the earth," and then he gives Noah these instructions on how to put this ark together? You got to put it together just right. You got to make sure you put the pitch in. You got to make sure you seal it up good. And I can just imagine as it began to rain, as the thunder was clapping and the lightning was flashing and the torrential waves were just beating against the hulls of that boat, I know what I would be thinking, because I'm a worrywart. I'd be thinking, did I make sure that I followed all those instructions correctly? Did I make sure I put the pitch exactly where God said that I should put it so I could make this vessel seaworthy and that would be able to withstand all this bombarding of the waves? I would worry about that. So 40 days, they probably had some anxiety and trepidation. So it's not unusual that when we try to do things right in this life, or when we're just living life in a normal fashion, just going about day in and day out, this is a pretty miraculous event, but we have tribulations that come our way too. And they seem sometimes to last forever. The number 40 is very symbolic of this temporal time of our trials and our tribulations, our anxieties and the things that happen to us. There's a lot of things that we go through, but here in Noah, I mean, you got to put yourself in his place and wonder, you know, just what was really going through their mind, you know. And then you consider the book of Jonah. Remember, Jonah was sent to a town called Nineveh, and I'm just going to reference Jonah 3, verses 1 through 10, and where God tells Jonah, you know, go into Nineveh and tell them, basically, I'm paraphrasing, "I've seen their deeds, I've seen what's going on, and if they don't knock it off, I'm going to bring calamity upon the land." So what did they do? They proclaimed a fast. All the men, all the women, all the beasts, no food, no water for 40 days. And you can remember and think, put yourself in their position, how trepidatious would this be, wondering whether God was going to turn his wrath away from them or not. So really, it is kind of a thing we have to consider, this thing called trepidation and anxiety, and how this number 40 comes into place, because you're going to see the number 40 is important, but there's another number, at least for the purpose of today's program, that's even more important. I want to turn over now to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Now, I've got some glasses here that sometimes don't let me focus too good, so I'm just going to go try to find 1 Samuel chapter 17 the best I can. Now, we come to a story. I'm sure you know it well. The story of David and Goliath. And there's a lot of information here that are very pertinent to today, because what are we talking about here? We're talking about this giant called Goliath who hounded Israel for 40 days and 40 nights, tempting them, prompting them, telling them, "Who's going to come out and fight me?" He had a whole army here with Israel. You had a nation who had just witnessed many, many times God's miraculous deliverance, and yet you had all these mighty men of war shivering and shaking because of one giant. And he provoked them day in and day out. He hounded them and he caused them trepidation. And then along the scene, here comes a little shepherd boy who had just been nothing more than a shepherd boy. People made fun of him. He goes out to visit his brothers on the battlefield. And here's this giant, this menacing giant. Now, how big was Goliath? I mean, there's some debate on how big and tall Goliath was. But, you know, the more modern opinions will tell you that he was only 6'9". But I don't know if that's the case, because if you go back to some of the early rabbinical writings, the earliest rabbinical writings, they're saying this guy was almost 10 feet tall. 10 feet tall he was. Actually, I think it was nine feet six is the estimation. So then you got all these people shaking and shivering. He's walking up and down. He's telling them, come on, let's fight. This was a real giant causing fear. And now you have this teenager come along. Just a meek, mild shepherd who people kept making fun of. And you got these series of seven different things that occur in this story. And it all has to do with overcoming. Let's go through just a few of those. And breaking in the context of 1 Samuel 17, we'll go to, let's just go to verse 16, because it's going to solidify what I just said. And the Philistine, that is the giant, drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. Now, we have to ask ourselves a question here. You have this army, you have all this manpower behind you, and you're going to let one individual cause you all this fear and anxiety? Who empowered this giant? I would submit for your consideration, Israel did. They did that themselves. They caused their own giant, so to speak, because there wasn't one man going up against a giant. There was an army going up against this giant. So here we continue. Then Jesse said to his son David, take now for your brothers an ephah of this dried grain and these 10 loaves, and run to your brothers to the camp and carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their household and see how your brothers fare and bring back news of them. Now Saul and they all of the men of Israel in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. So David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with the keeper and took the things and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to fight, shouting, and Israel and the Philistines had drawn up to battle array, army against army, and David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army, and came and greeted his brothers. Now, there's a lot that happens between this and the end of the story, and I know I'm not going to get all of it to all of it today, but that wasn't my intent anyways. My intent was to have you reach out and get the literature and the CD so you can find out what really happens here. I'm going to skip through some of this, but there are some things that we are encouraged to do when we're faced with our giants, when we're faced with our troubles, when we're faced with our tribulations and the things that we have to overcome. We have to face them. We have some certain steps that we can take to ensure that we can overcome, and they're found right here in 1 Samuel chapter 17. The first one is found in verse 23. Then as he talked with them, there was this champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words, so David heard them. You know what the most important thing about overcoming your trials and tribulations? You got to know your enemy. You got to know what you're faced with. You have to confront it, just like David does here. Number two, he says down here in verse 24, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man fled from him, that's the giant, and they were dreadfully afraid. So what you have to do is you have to stand up to your fears. This was nothing more than a schoolyard bully. You have to stand up to those kind of things. You have to confront the issues that we're faced with. You can't hide from them. You can't run from them. The best way to confront an issue is to face it head on with honesty and integrity and just face it. You got to do that. And there are some other things that we have to do here, but you know what? I'm not going to give them all to you today because I want you to get the booklet and the CD. So when we go down through the rest of this, we're just going to skip over a little bit and we come down to the end of the story and we're just going to go to, let's go to verse, oh, let's just go to verse 41. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. So the Philistine said to David, Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, You come with me to me with a sword and a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of our Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. How did David overcome? By turning to God, looking to God's word, turning to his faith. That's the best way that we can overcome, is to turn to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, to consider his example and the patriarchs that preceded us and the matriarchs that serve as our example. Because what's the end of the story here? Because this is coming to a conclusion. Well, yes, we've looked at the number 40, but you know, eventually Nineveh, the day 41 came, they were rescued from God's wrath. For Noah and the ark and his family, the day 41 came, their deliverance. And for David, well, just like Jack and the beanstalk, the giant fell. They don't live forever. They don't live over 40, because 41 is the number of our deliverance. So let me remind you, before we close today, of the literature that we have made available to you. So please reach out and get a copy of the CD and the booklet that we have for you today. The offering for the CD is No Giants Over 40, and the booklet, How You Can Be an Overcomer. Well, certainly, brethren and friends that are out there viewing today, we certainly do have a lot of anxieties and trepidations and giants that stand between us and the kingdom of God. How do we overcome? Well, we got to keep in the perspective. Problems don't last forever. Just like Jack and the beanstalk, as the giant was chasing him, well, eventually the giant fell, and we can overcome. So we need to consider some of these things, some of these examples that we see in the scriptures, so we too can overcome our giants. So, friends, until next time, you put on that whole armor, and I'll put on mine, and we'll see you here next time on the Armor of God.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.